welcome to the Wordsmith's Edge, the official podcast of DHK Creations and Publications, LLC, with your hosts, Carrie Elizabeth
and Elizabeth May Wolfram,
published authors and entrepreneurs, helping wordsmiths find their edge and catch their dreams one sentence at a time.
This is our very first podcast and our very first author interview. So we're so excited to get this going and get this started. So my name is Carrie Elizabeth, and I am the owner of DHK Creations and Publications. And I founded that with my daughter and business partner, Elizabeth May Wolfram, who is also a published author, and she is incredible at what she does. And we have just kind of created an author community here that we are wanting to grow. So if you guys know any independent authors that you would love to connect us with, please do so. Today, I want to introduce Pearl Lumen to our podcast, and she is a published author of two books currently. She is in Minnesota, and when she's not writing books, she is helping on her family farm, and that's also exciting for us because that's something we want to do and kind of grow into. So, Elizabeth, I'm just going to kind of let you take off from here, and I hope that you guys enjoy learning about a new author today.
Yeah, so I'm really, really excited to be able to interview because we've been following each other for quite some time now, and I've been enjoyed watching your poems come every single day, and it really does bring a smile to my face every single time I read some of your poems. So whenever you came out with your book, I was like, I have to get this. I'm so excited. And I got it, and I just, you know, I read it, I took notes, I just love it so much, and there's so many poems in here that are so personal and still very relatable to everyone else. You know, they're personal to you, but they're also, they capture so well the life and struggles and overcoming of Christians. And it's really, really amazing. So my first question is, how long have you been writing? You know, how long have you been doing this?
Oh, goodness. So I've been writing, honestly, for as long as I can remember. I was always writing stories as a little girl, and the first book that I actually started writing, I started when I was 10. It was a Civil War historical fiction book that was heavily based off of something else that I read and really loved. But I didn't really start writing poetry until I was 13. I remember very specifically the first freestyle poem I ever wrote. It was shortly after my great-grandma had passed away. And I had been pretty close to her, and it was kind of my letter to her, just saying all the things I wish I could have said to her. And up until that point, I really thought freestyle poetry was a joke. I thought it was for people who couldn't rhyme. But I saw then, when I wrote that poem, when I was just in a lot of emotional pain, that freestyle poetry was a really good way to express emotion. And so then, kind of throughout my teens, I started writing more and more freestyle poetry, and then eventually started writing it to share with other people.
It is very, very emotional. You know, all of your poems are, and you can really tell your heart with every word that you write and every word that you type up, and you can sense it as the reader, and it's really amazing.
Brought up freestyle poetry, right? So explain to us a little bit, and for the people that are new to, you know, writing and new to poetry, what's the difference between something that's traditional and something that's freestyle as far as poetry goes?
So a lot of traditional poetry has at least some kind of structure, whether that's, you know, some cadence or like the rhythm, or whether that's rhyme. And freestyle poetry is basically just about the emotion, and you can have rhythm, you can have rhyme in freestyle poetry, but that's not what it's all about. To me, freestyle poetry just seems like more of an emotional piece, whereas traditional poetry is more of a structured art form.
Was there, you know, a particular, I guess, aha moment, really, when you kind of realized, you know, I want to make this into a book? Is there something that happened that like inspired you to be like, I've got to publish this?
So it was, well, not necessarily a book, because the book kind of came about because I wanted to experiment with self-publishing, and I originally didn't want to publish poetry. My first poetry book, This Will Not Last, was just me taking a bunch of poems I'd written and putting them together into something that I could publish as an experiment to see how self-publishing worked. But I never shared my poetry with anyone until I think it was during COVID. And my grandma had me come over to her house one day, and I just brought my poetry, and I never shared my poetry with anyone. It was very private. It was in this little blue book that nobody else ever touched. And I just started reading it to my grandma, and my grandma would get excited about anything, even if it was horrible. If her grandkids are doing it, she wants to be supportive. But I could tell she really did enjoy it. And that was kind of my aha moment, like you said. And I thought, okay, well, if my grandma enjoys it, maybe other people would enjoy it. And so at the time, I had a food blog. And so I started adding poetry to the food blog. And then I ended up doing my writer website. And then I published poetry on there. But that's kind of when I realized that I did want to share my poetry with other people and not just keep it to myself anymore.
Yeah, and what a beautiful thing that came out of such a scary time with COVID. Right. Yeah. I think that a lot of people really struggled through that time. I know that I did personally with having to close my business and close my agency. So I was one of the small business casualties of all of that that happened. But it allowed for something to be kind of rebirthed in me to where, you know, the publishing company happened. And that led us to you. So to hear somebody else's experience that, you know, that was such a dark time, but something really beautiful came out of that. I commend you for that. And your vulnerability, that's huge to be able to express some of the things you did in some of these poems. And so, you know, what was your process in deciding which ones to choose to share with the world and which ones to kind of, you know, hold back? What was your process there?
So I guess what I did was I just grabbed all the poems I could find, because when I first started writing poetry, there were a lot of just random pieces of paper, and I had them in a big file folder. So I just typed all of those up and put them all together, and I kind of read through them and tried to look for a theme that I could find in those poems. And the theme that I found was kind of feeling pain, but seeing the hope in the middle of that pain. And so if there were poems that maybe didn't fit that theme as much, there were some that sounded more like songs because I had originally written them as songs, so I had to pull those out. And then some of them were just a little too personal and like very specific, and I didn't want to share those with the world. So I guess that was kind of my weeding out process, was first finding out what kind of fit the theme, and then what was too personal for me to share at that point.
Yeah, that's exciting. I know that Elizabeth, you have a few questions to ask.
So what would you say was kind of like maybe the most difficult part of writing, you know, your poetry books, and kind of, I don't know, what you struggled with and how you overcame those?
That's a good question, because I feel like each stage had its own struggles. I remember, so for my last book, Clarion Hope, I think it was in October or November, I was trying to come up with my timeline for getting everything scheduled out, for putting all the poems together, getting everything edited and formatted so that I could publish it in April. And if I was going to meet that deadline, I would have had to write 20 poems in November. And I can do that, but to write 20 poems that fit the themes of a collection and also are good enough to be in a collection, I also felt really strongly that I needed to have it published by April. And it was interesting because it was like in the middle of that process of trying to face that difficulty of realizing this was something I needed to get done, I was kind of living out some of the principles of Clarion Hope in that, you know, God will provide you with the strength when you need it. And if he's called you to something, he will equip you. So that was kind of a big step of faith for me doing that. But it was really cool because I was able to see how God provided me with the inspiration for all the poems that I needed. And my math had been wrong. I didn't end up needing quite 20 poems, but I got all the poems I needed by the deadline. And so that was one of the hardest and most exciting points of Clarion Hope, I think, was just, yeah, that stepping out in faith and realizing that God will give me the strength to do it if it's something he's called me to do.
That's really awesome.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So definitely being called out into faith and hoping and relying on God is definitely a theme that's very much in Clarion Hope. And yeah, it's really amazing. So you chose Clarion Hope as the title of your book because of the poem Hope's Clarion Call. Why that? You know, why did you choose that? What kind of inspired, you know, Clarion Hope?
Yeah, so the word clarion is something I get asked about a lot because it's not a word that we use all the time. And so when I was writing Hope's Clarion Call, that I was really looking into, okay, I had heard the phrase clarion call before, but I wasn't quite sure what it meant. And so I dug into the word clarion a little more. And clarion means clear. And so clear hope is kind of what this title means. Just the hope that Christ holds out is very clear to us in a dark world. And also the clarion was kind of like a trumpet. It was an instrument that they would use to call people to war. It was like a battle cry. And that's really what I wanted to do with Clarion Hope as well, was just to call people like out of their past, out of their pain, and into the hope that Christ has and the mission that he has for us as Christians. So that's kind of, it's got kind of a double meaning there, which I love to do. I love double meanings.
Yeah, that's so awesome. It's so awesome.
That's deep. That brought tears to my eyes right there. You got me there.
I love that one too. That was a really personal one too.
Stains, they're all I see when I look at me. Like, how many times do we look at ourselves in the mirror and see what's wrong with us? So that was, to come out of just a dark past that you know, we look at ourselves today as God's creation.
Yeah. And that's definitely something that I was experiencing as I wrote a lot of the poems in Clarion Hope, was just realizing not just things that had happened, or like realizing that not only the ways other people have hurt me, but the ways I have messed up and the ways I have messed myself up, he heals even that, and he heals everything. And there's no part of what I've been through that he cannot touch and he cannot heal. So yeah, that's one of my favorite parts of the book, is just, yeah, making that clear, just who we are.
So wanted to definitely, you know, say thank you for the vulnerability of that, because that one got me. On a lighter note, your book cover is gorgeous. And I encourage everyone to go and get this book, because you're going to be able to experience what this looks like, and I would love to hear the meaning behind the design of it.
Yeah, I honestly cannot remember how how I put it together. I knew that the blue is my favorite color, and I wanted it to match. This will not last, so there's no special significance with the blue. But I was, the sword and the roses are kind of what really had meaning for me. So there's a lot of battle imagery in Clarion Hope, and so I wanted a sword because swords are cool too. And then I knew I wanted the sword, and then I wanted something to bring a bit of beauty, because I didn't want it to be so harsh. And so I was like, oh well, let's put some flowers in there. And so I found like these blue roses that were really pretty, and so I started playing with a cover, and I sent the kind of the mock-up to one of my friends, and I was like, what do you think? And she had already been reading Clarion Hope, And she said, oh, well, and the significance of the blue roses is really good for this book too. And so it was a lot of accidental significance here. So the blue roses signify what is impossible and unattainable. And I love that because I think, you know, Clarion Hope expresses a lot of those longings for what we can't find here on this earth. You know, we want wholeness and we want, you know, complete healing here, but we can't have that because we live in a broken world. And unless we have Christ, that is unattainable. But because Christ came to us and he gave us his life and the hope of eternal life with him, we can have that unattainable, that unattainable hope that we have. And so, yeah, I love how the blue roses just signify that. And it's just really pretty. I love looking at it. So I'm glad you enjoy it too.
Well, I'm so, so proud of you. Elizabeth, I know that you have a couple more questions. One of your favorite poems was actually Recovering Eden. So why don't you talk about that one?
Yes, I absolutely loved this one. This one did have a lot of the battle imagery that you were talking about. And so I read that, and it was this one line that just really shook me, that I just kind of had to sit there and process it. And it says, "You make me valiant in battle, and the me of last year would scarcely recognize the warrior in the middle or in the mirror." And that just absolutely resonated with me because, you know, I've been through a lot of battles of my own, and life has changed from one year to the next. So it was like, you don't even recognize yourself whenever you overcome the pain and the heartache and the past. And so that was really amazing. So kind of what inspired you? What were you thinking about whenever you wrote Recovering Eden?
Yeah, looking back over the poem here and that line that you brought up, I was thinking of my last year. So I can't remember exactly when I wrote this poem, but I think I grew a lot this past year and gained a lot more courage. And so I was just looking back on that and looking back on how fearful I was of just trying new things and stepping out and trying new adventures. And yeah. Just realizing how, there was a quote I heard one time. It was how bold one becomes when one is sure of being loved. And I think just the more you know God and the more you know his love for you, the more confidence you have in who you are as his child. And I think that played a lot into that line there. Mm-hmm. And then also, shortly before that line in the poem, it says, "Emboldened by your love to obtain promises, subdue kingdoms, and stop the mouths of lions." That's straight out of Hebrews 11. And I remember I was looking at that passage and I was like, okay, if that was how God's people were living, like they were doing all this stuff, they were obtaining promises, subduing kingdoms, and like stopping the mouths of lions. This is crazy stuff. Why am I not living with that kind of courage? And so I think that passage was really on my mind as I was writing it as well. And just, yeah, looking at the hope that we have ahead of us and who strengthens us to keep marching is what a lot of what I was thinking about during that poem.
That's amazing. Yeah, that one is my favorite out of all of them. I love it so much. I've read it countless times already.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yes.
It's always so fun to hear when people love certain poems and just resonate with certain ones.
Now you have something pretty awesome that you're working on. And so I know that you've mentioned on your Instagram, which let us know what your Instagram is so people can go follow you. What is that?
Yes. Yeah, so that is Laurel_Lumen_writer is my Instagram handle.
Okay. So you've mentioned there, you know, in various other places about, you know, product redemption. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. So Project Redemption is, I got the idea for it when I was 12 years old. So it's been a long time coming. But it's a dual timeline novel that takes place partially during the 1940s and then partially during the early 2000s. And it follows the stories of two young women who are just going through obviously some tough times in life because what main characters don't. And the plot is still in development quite a bit, but it has a lot of farm stuff, a lot of newspaper stuff, old photographs. There's a lot of mention of old photographs and sibling relationships, a lot of elderly characters, which is my favorite thing. And yeah, as the Project Redemption suggests, it's a lot about redemption and honestly, a lot of what is talked about in Clarion Hope, how God can use our broken stories to bring beauty to the world and to bring encouragement to other people. So I'm really excited for that. I'm at about 20,000 words on the first draft right now, and not exactly sure when it's going to be finished, but I'm really excited to keep working on that and hopefully share it with the world sometime soon.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. And you mentioned, you've got a dairy farm, which is awesome. So that's something that our family, hopes to get into as far as farming goes. We want to have a hobby farm. So I'm curious, what types of animals do you guys have? And what is the funniest thing that has happened on your farm to date?
Oh my goodness. we have Holstein dairy cows, and we feed out a lot of our steers as well. My sister has some goats, but basically that's the extent of our farm population. We're not a super exciting farm in that capacity. I'm trying to remember a funny story, but all I remember is like when animals get out, I was always, and to this day, I'm still kind of scared around animals. People think it's really funny that I don't like working with cows, but I just don't. I like to stay in the tractor and bring them their feed and everybody else can work with the cows. But I do remember the pigs getting out a while ago. We used to have pigs and I hid up in the hay barn and played with the kittens while everybody else chased them in. So that was enjoyable for me, I guess.
Okay, this is an important question. Okay, so we got to think about this one.
Okay.
Potatoes, as far as you love eating them. So tell us, what is your favorite way to eat potatoes?
It depends on the day, honestly. I love mashed potatoes, but they have to have a lot of gravy on them. Oh, it all depends because there are so many different kinds. I love fried potatoes. French fries are good. Oh, baked potatoes, if you put a lot of butter on them, are very good.
There you go.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
How I like mine.
Yes, awesome. It was so funny because on Clarion Hope's release day, a couple people were messaging me and saying, oh, I'm eating a potato in honor of you and your book today. And it was so funny. People will just randomly message me potato memes. It's never something I meant to be known for, but I enjoy it.
Elizabeth has mentioned that you eat a lot of potatoes, and so do we. So we were curious about all that. That's funny.
I have to ask, what's your favorite way to eat potatoes?
Yeah, mine, I love baked potatoes. That's probably my favorite way. And then fried, like, not fried, but like roasted. I love roasted. Those my favorite
those
way.
So good.
Yes. Yeah, mine are not made at home. My favorite ones are not made at home. I am a Chick-fil-A girl.
Oh, yes. Chick-fil-A is maybe about 40 or 50 minutes away, so I would probably get those fries more if I lived closer.
That's so funny. So if you we're going to talk to, brand new writers, maybe somebody that is in their preteens that is just starting to figure out, that they enjoy writing, what is some good advice that you would give to a new writer?
Finish your stories. don't write the first chapter over and over like I did for 7 years. There is something to being able to finish something that you write and get through the whole process of the story or the whole process of the project if it's poetry or whatever. Don't wait until you're perfect to write the whole thing, because you can always go back and edit later, and you can't edit and make it better until it's written out there. So don't be afraid to write the stuff that's not very good. And also remember, like, don't be afraid to call yourself a writer and be confident in the fact that you are a writer, but remember that you're so much more than a writer, and you can't let that aspect of who you are define everything else and become greater than everything else. Because first of all, you know, you should be a child of God, and you have so many relationships in your life too that need to be invested in, and it's easy to lose yourself in finding your worth in your words and in what you've written. But that's not what's going to last in the end. It's who you are before God and who you are to other people. So don't neglect other people for the sake of writing.
So proud of you. So, so proud of you. You wisdom just beyond your age here. And I am so excited to be able to have interviewed you today. I love getting to know, you know, you, and I'm getting to know you through, of course, Elizabeth. And she shares with me a lot. And most of the time I'm working during the day, so she fills me in on, you know, the awesome stuff that she sees on Instagram. And so I definitely support you there, and want to encourage you to just keep shining, keep doing what you're doing, because I think that this is going to resonate with a lot of people. They're going to want to go and get your book. So where is that available at?
It's available on Amazon and Barnes and Noble right now. So,
and the name of your book?
Clarion Hope.
Clarion Hope. Okay, so everybody go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and pick up a copy of Clarion Hope. And if you want to follow Instagram, so it's going to be LAUREL underscore, and then last name LUEHMANN, and then is it another underscore? And then writer. There we go. So there's her her username on Instagram. So thank you so much for being here. Elizabeth, do you have any other questions, comments?
Yeah, I mean, I'm so happy that we got to talk and learn more about you and more about the stories behind Clarion Hope. It really, you are definitely an inspiring person and definitely someone that I look up to as an author. And so thank you so much for spending time with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for the encouragement. I really appreciate that as well. It was so much fun chatting with you, ladies.
Thank you so much. So, everybody, this was DHK Creations and Publications, and we are so thankful that you are listening to this, and we, you know, encourage you to, you know, if you feel something on your heart, write it down. You know, if you feel like you want to publish something but don't have the confidence, talk to us. You know, reach out to us, and we can help you get through that entire process. Because we have an entire team behind us that will help you do that as well. Thank you so much for, you know, participating and listening, and we hope that you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Wordsmith's Edge, brought to you by DHK Creations and Publications, LLC. We invite you to follow along on our brand new Instagrams, at Carrie Elizabeth W., and at Wolfram Writing, to keep up with us on social media. If you're an author who would like to learn more about how we help authors self-publish, visit dhkcreations.com. Stay tuned for new episodes on the way.